Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, for some time now, we've been sitting on Philippians 1, verse 6, and let's just turn there real quick. Philippians 1, verse 6. We'll start in 3. It says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's what we've been focusing on and just talking about different facets of really walking out God's plan for you on this earth. And the different facets personally, how church relates to that, how you know your walk with God outside of these four walls and what that means, and just staying there and turning that around different ways, and just talking about how God's working in us and accomplishing his will. The thing I want to touch on today is, you know, we've talked about you getting in your place and how he's going to do it. It's not you trying to do it, kind of like we were saying today. It's you looking to him, believing what he's told you, and he'll work it out in you. Our part is to believe him, and when we believe him, we'll act a certain way, and we'll get to where we need to go. And that change will happen as we look to him, and we know him, and we're directed by him. And so we talked about how our ministry, if you want to put it that, our ministry is our life. Our calling is our life. It's not, well, you're in the children's ministry, or you sing on the praise and worship time, or praise and worship team. That's part of it. But I don't know about you, but I'm not here that much in these four walls. I'm outside of here. And really, our calling is our life. It's what we do. God, it's every facet of what we do in relation to how God wants us to live our life. And so we talked about how that's outside of the four walls and how the church comes along and the purpose of that and the purpose of the pastor and things like that. Today, I want to touch on, you know, it is the relationship of our family to all that and the people that are close around us. Because, we don't want to get the idea. Our call or what we do in life includes the people around us, close around us. In other words, we don't want to go say, God told me to do this and forget, you know, whoever is in the boat with us. Hey, I got to do what God's called me to do. And, you know, you're kind of on your own or, you know, yeah, you're fine. You have to find your own thing. No, that's personally, if we just look at branch out, God's going to call us to do something, but that's going to include the people around us. Now, if that's our spouse, if that's our children, we don't want to forget the other people in our family, you know, our siblings or whatever, even if we're grown. God doesn't do things just in isolation. And sometimes, you know, I think people have gotten the idea that the call of God's just something, we're going to go and do this. When I say, you know, we've covered this a lot. When we say call of God, we're not talking about just the fivefold ministry. We're talking about the king, what he would have us to do. Period. On this earth. There is no higher, lower, it's just what he said. If he said it, we do it. You just follow the directions of what he has called us to do. But that includes our family. That includes the people close to us. It doesn't mean that, well, see, now I just got to trust God. I mean, or I just got to follow God here. So, you know, I don't want to spend time here, you know, with you tonight. I got to go lock myself up and pray. Well, that may be that you have to pray. But like one person said at Rhema, one of my instructors, when he got married, God told him specifically, he said, now don't start taking her time and giving it to me and say, I got to go spend time with God. He goes, that's not the way you do it. You make your time with me, but you give the time that you need to with her. It's not, hey, it's about, I got this call, so I got to go do this, and I, you know, heck with my wife and children, whatever. No. No. When God created Adam and Eve, there was nobody to minister to. It was them. Them and God. What was their call? If you want to put it in the way some people put calls. Who are they going to minister to? They serve on the children's program? Were they on the music team? Do they work? Do they go into the office? None of it. Half of the stuff doesn't even apply there. What did they do? They knew God. They walked with God. That's their life. And they had rich. They don't know what poor means. What does rich mean? Everything you need is abundantly supplied. Everything was there. There is nothing they needed that they didn't have. They didn't need clothing. The atmosphere was such, they were comfortable. They didn't have a winter light. We can have here. We think this is good. It's nothing compared to the perfect balmy temperature in the Garden of Eden. Perfect. They didn't need that. They didn't need to believe God for any finances. They didn't need to believe for anybody to get saved. Praying? Talk about praying. They walked with God. But the family was there before there was any ministry to anybody, other families to minister to. They took care, and then they had children. Different things happened. People had a free will, didn't all go after God. And that's how stuff split on the earth. Well, why do these people not know God in this corner of the earth? Well, way, way back, somebody decided they weren't going to serve God. And so down the line, their family, they taught their family, and they taught their family, and they taught their family. They don't know God anymore. I've said this before, but it's the truth. Why? People go, why? God? How could God kill everybody? Why did he wipe them out? That was an act of mercy. Because everybody following those people were going to go the same way. All those children that came up, that's the loving, most loving thing he could do. It wasn't an act of vengeance. All their descendants, they were foregone. God knows. He knows what's going to happen. Believe me, he would have saved Sodom and Gomorrah probably if he would have found one person. He's not out to kill people. That's a false argument. That the premise is wrong. God always does the perfect thing in love. But these people have cut God off. They don't believe God. They serve idols. Their children, notice, their children don't have hope. So that's where I'm going. Look where that got people. Right now and today in the earth, I'm not going to go there. We're going to stay on this. But our family means something. If we're going down, our job is to minister to our family and take care of them first. If we don't take care of them, yet we go out and save all these other people and try to minister to them, somebody called that. That's the height of hypocrisy. I'm going to go get everybody else saved, but I'm leaving my wife. She's so frustrated because all I go off and I think I'm so spiritual and I won't even spend time with her. And then my children, I got too much time. I got to serve God, so I'm letting them. Where do you think they're going to end up? You think they're going to want to serve the God? No, God will not do that. That's what I'm saying. Men, as we look at what God has called us to do, if we've taken the responsibility for a spouse, for children, whatever, he's going to move us all in the same direction. And that is our responsibility first. And I will tell you, going in, forever we do that, we strongly believe in that. People ask, well, why don't you have this or this in the church? Because it's not the best thing for where we are. We see things out in the future. We'll have certain things, but I will not sacrifice my family so that I could have something going on so somebody can decide whether they want to show up at that or not, and my children would pay the penalty for that. And that's what we want for every person. Like we were saying earlier, if we will just hook up with him and know him and walk with him, we will be at peace. Every need will be met. There won't be anybody stressed out thinking they're overworked. No, we'll be in our right place. We'll do what we need to do. And everybody will be strong and healthy and balanced and impacting their life. There is no superhero. I've said this many times last week, but there is no superheroes in the body of Christ. Jesus is the superhero. Period. And when we get to heaven, we will throw our crowns to him because he did it all anyway. Some people might hold on to their crowns. What you mean I didn't have to do all that? I didn't have to go to that extreme? You mean I overdid it? I didn't have to go through all that heartache that I was trying to make it happen. What? I don't believe that's His will. He wants us to be happy about life. Enjoy it. Sometimes have you... I've been there where it's almost like I'm looking at people that just have time to go out and hang out and have a cup of coffee. It's like, I'm serving in the church. I am almost resentful that, well, you're not getting stuff together. No, it's not supposed to be like that. We're supposed to enjoy life, just be able to take a deep breath, enjoy what we're doing, have fun with our spouse, with our family, enjoy things. And yes, we do this, which is part of our life in the body of Christ. We're body of Christ. It concerns our whole life. But with the church or with whatever, I do a good job on my job, like we talked about, and just enjoy life. Be a force to be reckoned with on this earth as His body, as people who are loving life and enjoying it. That's what He wants. It's not this thing where people think, well, I got this call of God now, and I'm going to go off and do all this, and I'm going to put my family through all these things and put them on the line financially, health-wise, time-wise, everything. I'm going to run everything into the ground. People are going to be hurt. People are going to be neglected, and it's in the name of God. That's wrong. Period. That is not letting Him do it. That's not it. He's a God of life. Amen. He'll do it. He'll do it in time. Sometimes we're too impatient. And so like I said several weeks ago, He will never put us in a position where we are going to stress ourselves out. It may be, the winds may be blowing, but if we'll just look to Him, He'll bring us right through it. But we can put ourselves in a position because of our impatience, because we think we have to do this stuff, where we put ourselves in a stressful situation that He never meant. Because we took ourselves and said, well, it's got to happen now. Things have to happen. Well, what's going on? Jesus, you need help. I got to do this and this and this. And we get worn out, and our family relationships go down. We start wondering why there's strife, I'm following the plan of God, but I'm doing all this stuff, and it's all because we're doing stuff He didn't tell us to do. We're putting a burden on us that He didn't mean us to carry. His burden is light. Peace, like we were saying, peace. If we get out of peace, we're off. I'm not saying that, we've all been there. What I'm saying is it's a barometer. When we get out of peace, stop. Why am I feeling the frustration, the peace? What's going on here? Stop. God, because I know you're not. Now, if it's because I'm looking at the wrong thing, but I'm in the right place, fine. We use that adjustment. No, God, I got my eyes over here. Got my eyes on the wind. I should have my eyes on you. Get my eyes back on you. I'm at peace. However, if we're off somewhere where we're doing something and making all this stuff happen, then we have to say, wait, God, I got out ahead of you. Let me go right back here. Oh, okay. Okay, this feels better. I'm where I need to be now. Hallelujah. He just wants us to enjoy life, walk through it, and just enjoy His plan. He is not... So many times we think... See, when you get into the place where this is a vicious cycle, but if you think you have to do certain things, if you try to go over the top and you think, I got to do all this to make this happen, and you do all of it, and then something kind of happens, you think you have to keep doing that. See, if you just let Him do it, then you say, okay, I see what you did. Now I know what my part is just to hook up with you. But if you get yourself in that cycle, you think you have to keep doing. It doesn't lead anywhere but heartache. I'm not saying you can't get stuff done like that. You can. The world does it all the time. You can. But there's always a price. Always a price. God makes one rich and He adds no sorrow. No. That's not just financially. No sorrow. You're not going to be going back on your deathbed going, I wish I would have done this with my family. I did it while I'm going. One other tidbit. Somebody said, rest. You have to rest as you go. Okay? There is no, I'll do that later. I'm going to go. Have you been there? I'm going to go, and then I'll rest afterwards. How many of you know you get past that hump, and then there's other stuff that wears you out? You didn't get to rest like you thought you were going to. But if we'll rest as we go. Keep built up as we go. Take care of business as we go. Take care of the relationships as we go. We're always in due season, already, always ready, always strong, always just impervious to the attacks. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's turn to Deuteronomy. Just on relation, we're not going to get through, you know, all these, but we're just going to touch on some things. Deuteronomy 6. Now, this is talking specifically, you know, let's just hold your finger if you're there yet, on your way there. Let's go over to 1 Timothy first. Let's go to 1 Timothy 3, verse 8. First Timothy 3, verse 8. Now this is talking, just before, and I have this scripture too, he's talking about qualifications for an overseer, bishop, pastor in the church. But then down in verse 8, he's talking about deacons, a little more general, but it's the same thing. But notice for both of them, we can go back up, but we'll stay on verse 8 for now. It says, likewise deacons, or, you know, people serving in a position in a church, must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience, but let these also first be tested, let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be husbands of one wife, that means just have one, Not multiple, you can't handle more than one anyway, but just have one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. Notice, that's a qualification. Now we're talking, our calling is not just in the four corners, you know, of the church, it's our life. But notice, ruling their children and their houses well, and he talks about the relationship with the wife, with his spouse. That's a qualification. That's first. Whatever we do, especially in the capacity, if it is like traditionally ministry related, if you want to say that, church related, it ought to be an overflow of our lives. An overflow of what we do. It shouldn't be in place of. If you go back up to 1 Timothy, just up a few verses to verse 4. Same thing, we're not going to read all of it. But look at verse 4, he's talking about a pastor. He said, one who rules his house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? I laugh because there's this one teacher we had. He said, in the King James, it says, rule his house with all gravity. And he said, that means your children are on the ground most of the time. If you're dealing with them, you're not. Anyway, it was funny when he said it. But he rules his own house well. It's a qualification. It's a qualification. Let's go back over to Deuteronomy. Now, we're talking, you know, that's referring to our household and our children. You know, this is specifically... Deuteronomy is talking specifically about children, but we're just going to go there. It applies to all of us, though. Deuteronomy 6:6. I'm going to read verse 5. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Now notice, this is God's word to them at this time. Now we have additional word, and God said, my laws I will write on your heart. And this is the day. But he's talking... to the Israelites, he said, these words I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them. Now notice, he says they're going to be in your heart. He's talking Men, women, spouses, they're in your heart, number one. That means you, towards each other. They're in your heart as you dwell together. Your heart. And then he says, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. Who's they? I mean, it's talking to both parents, right? If the parents are doing it, that means they already are doing it with each other, right? You don't just, it's like, it doesn't happen in isolation, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like this person is not, if I'm just walking this out alone, yet I'm trying to train my children, it's both of them together. They're talking to each other. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now I'm going to read that in the New International Version. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. He's basically saying, make it a lifestyle. You integrate this into your life. Today we would say, when you get up, you know, like you go for a walk. He's saying, when you go in your car, when you're talking with your children, you know, if you're sitting at home playing a game, impress upon them. Impress each other. Make it so that that's the core. Ministering to one another. To each other. Make it, see, this is a, what is he talking about? He's talking about a family. All together. Speaking the word. Encouraging one another. That's first. You can't do that. I mean, you can't go out and do some of the ideas that some people would think, and not do this. This is supposed to be first. This is the primary thing. Love your God, and then bring those with you after Him. You love, but bring those around you. That's our primary concern. That's the way God would have it. Like I said, back in the Garden of Eden, it was that way. Here we go back. We just read something in the New Testament. Paul's encouraging Timothy. And then here when Moses is laying down to the children of Israel, saying this is what you ought to do. Keep God's word in front of you. Encourage one another. Put it there. And that's the way God set it up. For the people that are close to us. To be encouraging to us. And then as we go out from that, like we've talked about the church and different things. But we have a responsibility before God Almighty to do this. If we go out and it does not matter how much we quote-unquote do for God, but we forget the ones closest to us, we've missed it. We've missed it. Thank God. God, you know, we've been talking about that God will complete it in us. That He who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, we're talking about, you know, personally, He will complete it. But He's completing it in your partner. He's completing it in those children. He who started something in those children will complete it. Their lives. I know we know this, but it's easy to think of this. Well, okay, it's what is God telling me? But God is doing the same thing with the person that He's partnered you with. And He's put the same thing with your children. Has something for them. And it's going along the same way. So it should all be in harmony. See, in other words, something that God, if it's God telling me to go over here, but I'm hooked up with somebody else in a family relationship, what he tells me and what He tells them are going to gel and be in harmony, if it's God. If I ever thought I was supposed to do something, and some of you, and we've talked about, and I'm not going to go into it now, like how we ended up out here, there's no way I would ever move out halfway across the country. to do something like what we're doing. If Shelley was like, no way. Are you kidding me? That'd be nuts. That's a flag. If your spouse or if your children, and I've heard, you know, just in general, if you know, people, we talked to people at Bible school and they talked about how they ended up coming. And, you know, like if their child was going into their senior year at high school, they talked with the family and it was very important to them. They put it off for a year. They didn't want to pull that child out. It was going to disrupt that child's life, and there was going to be disharmony in the home. It probably would have made things a lot more difficult the whole time. They're trying to get the word. That kid could be a handful. Now, I'm not saying kids shouldn't submit. I'm saying there's harmony. God, if it's God's plan, there'll be harmony. There will be. I'm not saying the enemy isn't going to try to attack. He will. You don't want him to do it on a shaky foundation. He will attack, absolutely. If you start out with the foundation that you don't agree, not good. Not good. So we can use it as a barometer. If we'll go and just make sure, hey, we're taking its step, we're getting everybody on board, everybody with us, all right, let's go. This is what we believe as a family. Ooh, that's like circling wagons. That's tough to get through. Then when stuff happens, no. Hey, I don't know about what we're doing here. Yeah, but I do. Remember, we talked and we agreed. And another person another day. I don't know about this. Yeah, but I do. We talked. We agreed. Remember? That's hard to get through for the enemy. And so we want to just take steps at a time. Take care of what needs to be taken care of. Take care. Take care of the people that are going to be there all the time. Why? Well, think about it. I know we know this, but think about it. If I don't care if it's work, if it's a ministry, whatever, we think we're going to do something big or do something and we're going to do this for God. And what does that entail? What is God all about? He's about people. So we're going to do something that's going to impact people. Yet, if we're going to do that and not impact these people that God has already given us, we aren't understanding something. We know that, but how can we go, I'm going to do something and impact people. I'm going to be this excellent employee on the job. Great. How about impressing the people that's next to you? How about impressing your spouse or something, you know? What's the difference? Sometimes we get it. It's centered on me and what I'm going to do, and here I'm going to go do this, and we forget this. And that's a tool of the enemy. That's all I'm saying. That's the emphasis today. Guard it. We are responsible for the people that God has put in our lives. If we go and we give up those people to get somebody else, there will be sorrow at some point in our life. I'm not saying God's grace isn't sufficient to work us through things, but why go there? Why do that? Why create that? Wouldn't it be so much better to bring everybody together, to go through joint, and then to do stuff what God has us to do, and we walk through, and it's because of Him, and then we get done, and we're like, thank you, God, you did that, but thank God I'm here, and we're all happy, we're all in harmony, we're together. Thank God for, you know, for what God has done, and no sorrow being added to it. Hallelujah. Thank God. He is so good. God doesn't need, Jesus made the sacrifice. Okay, He did it. Our sacrifice can add to that. So sometimes we get in our mind, well, I'm going to really do it. I'm going to lay it all. I'm going to do this. Okay, we got to watch that though, because sometimes there's a tinge of pride, something the devil's trying to get in there and basically put it on you. You got to do all. No, Jesus has done it. Our job is to follow Him. He'll make a way. He's always done it. Always done it, and in fact, He delights in doing it. Yes. When people aren't looking at themselves. He delights in using Gideon with a few people to rout an army. He delights in it. He delights when the Israelites get up against the Red Sea, got this big army coming down him. He just says, all right, watch this. You know, and He delights in it when David goes out there against Goliath. How is this going to work out? But David said, you watch him, I'm going to take your head off. No way in the natural that's going to happen. But God did it. And we think we got to be armed. See, we just look to Him. We look to Him. We look to Him. He'll get it done. He'll get it done. And people will be at peace. Peace. Remember, that's where we started. Peace. Hallelujah. Peace. Peace. Praise God. Hallelujah.